Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week as usual by Tom and Donny. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Donny?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. Just as well as this week and not last week, because I'd lost my voice last week, guys, and I couldn't have spoke. I was sick, and I actually done my vocal cords in, so back to nearly full fitness. Right, I don't know, nobody cares about that. Right, we'll go back to... first of all, Kevin Van Veen Cup is round two is in full swing. I have posted results last night, so if you're still in the cup, have a look, see who you've got. The second leg will be this weekend, round four, and then we'll draw the final 16 draw, last day, where it is in the next weekend's podcast. Also, our own league. Let's see, we're 3 weeks in now, so we'll see what's happening at the top. Number one is FPL General with 199 overall. Second is The Dishonest Men, Makatat Wolf, 198. And third is Yusuf Spittle, like that name. Darren Sneddon, 97/197. So that's two of you guys playing a cup rival with Darren Sneddon in general. So that's two guys kind of play quite often. Me and Tom are struggling the cup. I think, Tom, both of us have got a deficit to bring back this round.
Yep.
I drew Hugh for the caravan and I actually thought myself easy, brilliant draw. He has no Celtic players in his team. His team's called another Celt and his team outscoring by 12 points this week. So it doesn't bode well for me, but more on that as we get into the fixtures. Right, scores and rank for this game week. Donny, you still third out of three?
Yeah, I think
you go first then. Score and rank.
Having a stinker at the moment, but we go on. Okay, so my score was 49. I took a -4, so I ended up on 45. 30 of those came from Captain Tav. So the team in goals, Clark for 3, Captain Tav for 30, Obelai 1, Del Ferrier 1, Turnbull 3, Morris 1, Abada 1, Cantwell 3, Robinson 2 for the Hershey vice captain 2, Lammers 2. And so there's not much really going on there. So that was my 45. Global score was 169. I was 1-3-1-3. It's a red arrow. I'm 1-5-2-4. So a lot of holes to fix, which I'll talk about later.
Okay, Tom, over to you. Score and rank.
My rank is 1,997th. My score was 43 points. I took a -4 and I got, so I'm guessing that's net 39. My points are, I had Clark in goals for 3, backline of Brown with 1, Tav 15, Stevenson nothing, Spittle 5, Captain O'Reilly got me 6, Campbell got me 6, Abada 1, Vice Furuhashi got me 2, Lammers got me 2, and Simon Murray got me 2.
Right, I am ranked 210th. That's a green arrow. And 51 points this week. Pretty much the same as you, Donny. Tavernier was the main story. 30 points for him, captain. I had Clark and goals for 3. Brown and Devlin off the bench, each 1 point apiece. Miller, 2 points. Turnbull, 3 points. Cantwell, 3 points. O'Reilly, 3 points. Tagawa, 1 point. Furuhashi, 2 points. And Lammers, 2 points. So, Captain Tav saved the day, basically, this time.
Yeah.
So, results, Tom. Why don't you start to take us through the results?
Yep. First fixture of the weekend was Ross County 0, Rangers 2. The goals came from Roof with an assist from Barisic, and Tav got the second. Obviously, those that didn't captain Tavernier were punished this week. He got a clean sheet, a goal, and three bonus. Obviously, Roof is now back from injury. Another attacker to consider. It's quite an abundance there at Rangers. It's a tricky one. Cantwell did start this fixture again. However, still no returns. I think his input's diluted down, as mentioned, with the amount of attackers that are there. Barisic does seem to be doing quite well. He's got 9 points this game week. He had 13 points last game week as well. And I think he's perhaps one to consider for your third or even your second Rangers slot. He's top for key passes in the league with 11. And Tav and also Graham Carey of St Johnstone are joint second with 8. Stats-wise, Dessers and Lammers both had 2 shots on target. They were top. Dessers missing a big chance. For Ross County, they're hard to judge in fixtures like these. Danda's back, which means, unfortunately, Kyle Turner's back on the bench. And Danda is top for big chances created so far this season with 3. Randall, there's one that we mentioned, he's still playing out of position, still not really providing any returns as a result. Their fixtures are Kilmarnock away, who have a strong defence. They've got Livingston at home, which is quite nice. And then they're away to Aberdeen and then at home to Hearts. So a bit of a tough run for Ross County, but they are our kind of favourite underdog so far this season. I'll come to you first, Donny, for your Rangers perspective.
So I thought it was another professional performance from Rangers. And as you say, a reminder to everyone out there that Tavernier is still the king of fantasy football Scotland. I see that the game posted that he actually fell in value for the first time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of managers out there must have swapped him out after 2 games thinking that he was no good, but he managed to show all the doubters wrong, including those who decided not to captain him. Look at you, Tom. With a superb wonder goal. A really good run and finish from him, the clean sheet, the bonus points, as we've alluded to in our scores, 30 points for me and Peter, pretty much made our total for the week. So as we say in the game, always captain Tav, and that's the reasons why. But going back to the team, again, because of the European fixtures, we're rotating around that. This was Kemar Roof's first start in 16 months, a guy who's just riddled with injuries. You probably can see him starting a lot of league games. Whether you want to keep him on a permanent fixture, I don't know what his value is, but it's probably quite pricey. We talked about this before, and it's something I'm going to look at. I think Rangers have got too many options up front. I think we all had Lammers, drew a blank. You're probably going to get something out of him once every 4 or 5 games whilst all the other players score. So for me at the moment, and you took the words out of my mouth, I think it's Tav and Barisic are your reliable assets. I'm going to stick with Cantwell. I know there's a question on him, his form. But I think those are the names that you're probably going to look for when you're talking about Rangers. As far as Ross County goes, well, they've played Rangers and Celtic now, so they'll have a good run of fixtures that you can potentially target a cheap defender. I don't think they've got much in the middle or up front. It's quite slim pickings there, but I think Rangers are just starting to tick at the right time. I think they'll go into this weekend's fixture full of confidence as they look to overtake St Mirren at the top of the table.
Peter? A more balanced perspective.
Yes, yes. Donny's just full of digs. I didn't watch it. The Tavernier situation is always the same as this before. If he scores a goal and they keep a clean sheet, he's going to get 3 bonus points. So you do run the risk if you don't capture him. I was swear on it back and forth thinking away game. It hasn't been that great. But then I just went, you see the team news, go be tried and tested and it paid off. Barisic's an interesting one for me. I mean, he has played like Pete Barisic 2 seasons ago where we all had 2 Rangers defenders on the team. If he can keep it up, I think he's probably... I mean, his form means he's pretty nailed. He's not going to come out of the team he's playing list on, is he? He's not going to get dropped,
no.
So...
No, I don't think he will.
And he's offering just as much attacking threat on the left-hand side as Tavernier is, so... But this way, if I was wildcarding, and I'm not, I think Barisic would be my second Rangers player on the team. I think he's just... I know the fixture coming up, Celtic people might look at it and go, oh, but it's only one fixture. I think my two would be Tavernier and Barisic. Cantwell... I'm more swaying on, but we'll talk about that later. Rangers did look better. I think Ross County did. They do look they could come and have a go at certain points, but Rangers kind of managed the game well, got the second goal. I think White missed a sitter, or could be a sitter near up. After that, the Brazilian arbiters just managed to get him out, and that's what they probably want, getting the European tie midweek. For Ross County point of view, I've got James Brown, cheap enabler. He's kind of full-back overlapping. I think he's decent. I'll see how the fixture swing go, but as Donnie mentioned, I don't really think there's much up front or in the middle for him to kind of hang your hat on. There's a lot of cheap alternative strikers. I know, Tom, you'd Scott Wright for a time, though you still have him or not. He does look all action up front, but he's not really returned yet, so I think we're going elsewhere.
Next fixture then, we have Celtic 0, St Johnstone 0. For me, I had O'Reilly captain in this fixture, and I thought Celtic would need to make up for the bad result last week, but obviously I was wrong on that one. St Johnstone at home would have been an ideal fixture. O'Reilly was the standout guy in terms of statistics. He had six shots, three of which were on target. He missed three big chances and hit the woodwork. In terms of the sort of season as a whole, in the three fixtures so far, he's top of the league for shots on target with eight. Joint second, another couple of Celtic players, Turnbull and Maeda, and they sit there with Jordan White. They all have five shots on target, so ones to watch there. Obviously, Celtic do have a lot of injuries, a lot of disgruntled players as well, by the sounds of things. And it looks like Rodgers has just kind of picked up where he left off in terms of the sort of turgid football, which is quite hard to watch. But there's still a few days of the transfer window left, so let's see what can happen. Joe Hart really never had much to do, and it's obviously a nice point for St Johnstone, but I certainly wouldn't be piling on St Johnstone players just yet. I think it kind of speaks more about Celtic. So I'll come to you first, Peter, for this one.
See, talk about worse man, calm down. It was like, there's no eulogy there. Well, it was terrible to watch because I didn't watch it. I rushed back to the caravan and watched it on my mobile phone for 90 minutes, and that was 90 minutes I had to get back in my life. Very carbon copy of the cup game. Didn't look really much in danger at the back, but going forward, there's no impetus, nobody cutting edge. O'Reilly's the one, again, stood out to me, who was making his moves, getting into position. So if you're looking for some fantasy football positives, O'Reilly did look lively, probably missed two sitters. I don't know what else to take for the game, Celtic-wise. It's the football isn't very good to watch so far. It's possession play. I think it was death by possession, something to do with the online. It's just passing the ball about. But when you're playing these teams of the low block, that's just music to the ears. They just sit in. You're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to. Window's totally shut. He's going to have to tailor tactics, I suppose, and see what happens. But if this is he's going to play going forward, we're in, Tom, as in me and you, maybe not Donny, in for a long season of watching, try to break teams down. It's not ideal to watch. But I don't think Brendan Rodgers is a bad manager, so I'd like to see how he gets on and watch after the international break, and we'll see what happens. St Johnstone, agree with you. I think they just played well. Set up two banks of four, five at times, and they didn't offer any going forward and met a good result. I still wouldn't be, unless they do this week in, week out, I'm not very interested in getting their players in.
No. Donnie?
I don't know why you are all being so down. I thought it was a great result. First clean sheet of the season, so you should be happy. There's clearly a problem. I mean, obviously, I've been on the other end of this for the last two seasons, but you know, from going to win everything, getting knocked out of the cup, and now dropping points at home to St Mirren is a huge drop-off in form. And, you know, it's giving me flashbacks to Rangers under Van Bronckhorst and moving the ball around, not really getting any end product, and having a lot of frustration and results. So if that's used for the season, strap yourself in because it's not good. And what will happen is teams will just learn from it. So, okay, there's Rangers this weekend, but then Dundee and Livingston, they're just going to do exactly the same, try and frustrate. So you just have to brace yourself for a long season if that's the case. On paper, you know, you could have pushed the triple captaincy in this game. It was just absolutely prime set up for them. But for whatever reason, it was not to be. Apart from the clean sheet, as a fantasy point of view, absolutely zero takeout from it. I loaded up in Turnbull and Abada, and whilst Abada didn't start the game, he came on and still offered nothing. So I'm stuck with two Celtic midfielders going in an Old Firm, which isn't ideal. We'll need to get rid of one of those. Kyogo, he scored in two out of the three league games, so you know I don't think the blame solely lies in him. I think you can hold on to him for Tish now. St Johnstone, again, they've been absolutely atrocious, so they'll really celebrate this, and they've got Dundee next. You know, you might want to get a St Johnstone defender, but I think it's probably a flash in the pan, that result. But Celtic have got Rangers at Ibrox, and for the first time in a long time, you've got to imagine they're second favourites for this game. They would have been hoping to go 6 points clear, but now could realistically find themselves behind. So it'll be interesting. It's anything can go in this game, but I'm looking forward to it probably more than I ever have in terms of an Old Firm match. But just one of those results you have to write off and hope that they bounce back. But from a Rangers point of view, it was a very much a surprise result for myself.
Yep. Our next fixture then, Hibs 2, Livingston 3. We had an Obita OG. Bruce Anderson scored for Livingston with an assist from Penrice, and Sangari scored with an assist from Nubly. For Hibs, it was Boyle that scored with an assist from Doidge, and Josh Campbell was subbed on and scored the second for Hibs. A game of goals, 7 shots on target total, 5 of which were goals, so there's some accurate striking going on here. Hibs are probably still hurting from the 5-0 gubbin through the week, and probably this was the flying ointment, losing at home to Livingston, a team that we've stated don't really have much firepower. Obviously, since writing this, the Hibs have now sacked the manager, so maybe perhaps a wait and see before we sort of really write Hibs off. I've got a couple of Hibs players myself, Stevenson and Josh Campbell, so it was nice to see Josh Campbell come on and get some points. I may be tempted to hold on to them just to kind of see what happens at Hibs. Prior to the manager getting sacked, I was dead set on getting rid of them, but something I'm going to suss out this week. In terms of Livingston, as I said, a team not really showed much up front. They managed to get 3 goals away from home. That may be more telling of the Hibs defence rather than Livingston turning the corner, but something to keep an eye on. Nubly and Anderson are familiar names. Nubly's 4.7 million. However, their cheaper striker's doing better. He's got a total of 9 points so far. Doidge is the same price, and he's on 17 points. And he's currently playing through the middle at Hibs. But again, a managerial switch up there might impact that. Boyle could be an option for those considering getting rid of the Celtic and Rangers midfielders who aren't performing. Something to keep an eye on perhaps there as well. But Donia, I'll come to you first for your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly an end-to-end game. Hibs was showing their poor form. You know, concede far too many goals. No manager's going to survive that. So whoever comes in next, they've got a good squad of players. If they can get them to play in the right way, there's no reason why they can't bounce back. But having watched the game, I thought the guy Penrice, the back for Livingston, he had a really good game. It's somebody I'll potentially target as one of the holes in my defence. I thought he was quite good value. And you mentioned about Boyle. As a Boyle believer myself, I think he's maybe done enough now to put him in my team. They haven't had a penalty recently that I can think of, but he was their normal penalty taker, so that's still the case. And I think he offers value. His price point has always been pretty decent as well. So if we get him now before he goes up, then that's good. As for that, they do have Aberdeen next. That's always going to be a tough one, but they'll have a European game as well. So be interesting to see how that one pans out. As I say, Livingston defence, Penrice caught my eye. I think he's one for the watch list. But good result, good game end to end, and a couple of players you can keep an eye on as things progress.
Yep. Peter, what about you? Are you a Boyle believer?
I am a Boyle believer. I think he is a move coming soon. It's depending on who the manager is. I can't remember, did David Gray manage him before? If that was the patch when he was actually scoring goals for fun before his injury, I would need to look back and look into that. Obviously, he's talismanic for him. If they get a manager in charge, say a manager who likes to chew tobacco, Boyle might be the Boyle might be the main man up top. And if that's the case, I think he is a kind of Neil Lennon type player. I'm alluding to Neil Lennon, obviously. I think Boyle would be one of my first names on my sheet to come in. I'm assuming Donny, he'd be on the wild card if we talk about that later. He's one of the ones you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I just
And
don't think there's a lot going on in midfield right now, and a penalty taker that's good form. I think I would definitely have him pinned down.
And if you own him this week, for example, and you're not too sure, Rangers Celtic, I say he's a decent differential captaincy option, because we all say he can pop up in most games. He's kind of fixture proof. Penn Rice as well, Donny. I wrote him down because I did like to look at him. He was quite an attack defender as well, so and he's really cheap. So he's a good one if you want to get a wee bit of Livingston defence. And again, we always say in this podcast, he won't return every week, but if you leave him on the bench, use a bench trick, maybe every 3 or 4 weeks, you'll get something out of him. Maybe I think he's had an assist in this game as well so far, so I think he's
played
well.
Yeah, an assist and 2 bonus points, so you're
there
going
you
to
go.
Get value there.
So he's decent going forward. New Blaine Anderson here before, I think there is still better value elsewhere in the up front to go for them, but right now, Livingston, I don't argue having any of them in as a cheap player. And for Hibs, you just have to wait and see who the manager comes in. Is there a reason why Boric replaced Marshall? Was it injury? Or is it just hooked
Yeah,
to
he
half-time?
took a knock at the end of the first half.
Right. So, sort of watch in case we get a really cheap keeper in place there, in case Marshall's out long-term. But apart from that, yeah, it was a good game to watch, actually. Apart from Hibs are atrocious at the back. I mightn't bring any defenders in until we get a new manager in place.
Yep. Motherwell 2, then Kilmarnock 1. We have Dan Casey scoring for Motherwell with an assist from Spencer, and Peyton scored with an assist from Spittle. For Kilmarnock, it was Miley Watkins that scored with an assist from Danny Armstrong. Dan Casey won a penalty for Motherwell, and Slattery took it, and it was the Kilmarnock keeper Dennis that saved the penalty. So Kilmarnock have been great defensive so far this season, and even though Dennis didn't get any clean sheet points in this fixture, he got the points for saving a penalty. For Manly Watkins, I think confidence was high. He scored against Celtic in the Cup last week, so could be a decent option there. And our old friend Danny Armstrong back at it again. Spittle was not to be outdone within the 4.0 up to 4.4 million. Midfield bracket, and he got an assist as well. Brody Spencer, so he is playing in place of Suari, who's out injured. Not too sure how long. I think it's a matter of weeks, but not too sure on the specifics. He was the only player in this fixture to get more than a single shot on target, with two. He missed a big chance, but got the assist, so perhaps one to watch. He's 2.6 million in the game. One to keep an eye on there. Nothing else to really report on that one. Peter, what's your thoughts?
Just a lot of familiar names coming up here. Obviously, Armstrong, Spittle. MD had the kind of template or went for names from last season, done well. Watkins does stand out. I don't know if he looks like boys for last week's games. He looks like a really, really nice, cheap striker option for Kilmarnock. And if their form continues, I know they defeated Tier, but they still look lively. And if he can go on a decent run, then I think he could be one of the main men up front. Armstrong, again, he's quite quiet this season so far, but he could, I think, he could even kind of easing back in it. That's one of them. You bring up Spencer and Suari. The only issue with that is I think Suari is due to come back after an international break. The weather not Spencer are enough to keep that place. Is just someone you keep the pressers on idea between the international break. And Blue Spill, I had him for a long spells last year, but I think this is his first return this season in the game. Maybe second assist. But
yeah,
if they start motoring as well, I'm sure Spill will be part of it. They do look lacking without Van Veen, but that's turning dust now. You can't hear about that. We'll see if the team goes forward. They did look good. Obviously, they're the first team to take a scalp properly off Kilmarnock this year. Well, they will finish last season strong. They finished start of the season kind of iffy, but if they can continue this, then maybe some cheap assets jump on it as well. They'll just have to kind of see how their fixture run goes.
Donny, anything to add there?
Yeah, again, another good game. I thought Kilmarnock started off well. Quite rightly in front, and then Motherwell came back into it. Motherwell have a striker problem at the moment because Wilkinson's out long term now as well as Abika. There is talk of them bringing in Fletcher in the transfer window. I'm not sure he would be the answer to things, but yeah, they are struggling up front. So keep an eye on Spittle. He might get a more attacking role, and the fact that Slattery missed that penalty in the game, you know, he might get handed penalty duties too. So certainly Spittle, I would be sticking with him if I had him in my team. Kilmarnock, the names you mentioned, Watkins, Armstrong, both offering value. maybe not get carried away too much with Kilmarnock. I mean, they obviously have beat Rangers and Celtic, but they're not Barcelona reincarnated, so they will have results like this. So just be careful and don't go too heavy on them. But yeah, just the names that we tend to see every week did return in this one. And, if you are running a template, then you'll have done well. So, these are the players that are probably going forward.
Yep. Next fixture then, we have Dundee 1, Hearts 0. The goal came from Luke McCowan with an assist from Bakayoko. Hearts conceded their first goal of the season. I'm surprised it was in this fixture, to be honest, but there we go. Zach Robinson is the only player on the pitch to get more than a single shot on target with two. There were two big chances, both of which he missed. He's actually top so far this season for big chances missed with four. Speaking of chances missed, we've got Shankland, whose stats are nowhere near close to what they were last season. He would regularly get three shots on target, plus those other shots which were off or blocked. But on the plus side, I suppose it's one less expensive asset we need to worry about. Bakayoko made four key passes, so perhaps deserving of the assist. Lowry, he's on loan from Rangers, and he's perhaps one to keep an eye on. I think he needs a bit of time to bed in, but could be a decent option. He made three passes in this fixture as well. But it's Luke McCowan who seems to be the standout. So far this season, he has one goal, one assist and five bonus points, which is joint top with Brad Lyons at Kilmarnock. And he's averaging 6.7 points per game. He's the third highest scoring midfielder in the game. And he faces St Johnstone next. Fixtures on a whole, though, are a little bit of a mixed bag. So perhaps he would be an ideal bench trick option, particularly at his price point, which is 3.5 million. So not bad for a cheapy midfielder. Donny, come to you first. What do you think?
Yeah, so a good win for Dundee against what I think is still quite a poor Hearts team. They're obviously battling on Europe as well. I can't see them getting through that tie. So I think once they are out of Europe, they'll be able to fully concentrate on league matters. And if that's the case, I think a player like Lowry will probably suffer. I think he's ideal at the moment. Give somebody like Boyce a rest for the European games. So his minutes might decrease, albeit he is a good player. I had double Hearts defence going into this game, and that was one of the changes that I wanted to make. I just don't fancy them, and rightly enough, it was quite a sloppy goal that they gave away. Dundee, it's hard to look at whether there is any value in this team. I mentioned Bakayoko last time we spoke. He's 3.3 million. Ideal to have as your third striker. We'll get you points every so often. So, yeah, definitely look for him. As for Hearts, as I say, if they get knocked out of Europe, then potentially you've got like Cochrane coming back from suspension. Shanklin's always dangerous, but they're just a team that you have to watch. Won't be long until they hit Rangers and Celtics, and then do you put your faith in players till then? Just have to wait and see. But Dundee, good value, 3 points. They'll be happy with that.
Yep. Peter?
Called it with Hearts. Looked at 3 weeks. Kidding on. With Dundee, they're also offering great value, a lot of cheap assets. I mean, you mentioned Bakayoko, Donny. They're players like all of their team. I'm sure if you have one in each position or two, maybe two sit at the bench, you will get returns over the space of the season. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league. Hearts, to me, is just because the squad seems bloated. They've got too much rotational issues up front, so you're kind of reliant. Even the defenders like Cochrane and Kingsley, you think one's going to play and one's benched. I've got Clark in goals. I think that's the only one I'm kind of. I've got Tagawa up front as a cheap enabler. He was 3.3 as well, the striker. So I'm not really interested in getting into them until maybe, as Tony mentioned, out of Europe and they get a more kind of. The 11 year olds get to play most weeks, then you can maybe pick and choose who they're going to pick for that. But because they finish quite high, they're quite expensive as well. And I don't know if I'm really about to go two or three deep into Hearts. Shankland, as you said, doesn't look as attacking. Maybe he's playing that deeper role again, and it's not. Who was it last year played ahead of him? Was it Ginelli? Was it a player that was playing up front?
Yeah, Ginelli played down the centre,
So nobody's really grabbed that position for themselves yet. So until somebody does, then that might be an option up there. But It's not a void, it's just that I'm not really interested. I think there's better value elsewhere in the league right now than jumping into Hearts.
Yep. That leaves us then with St Mirren 2, Aberdeen 2. For St Mirren, it was Greg Kilty that scored with a penalty. Alex Grieve got the second with an assist from Mandron. For Aberdeen, it was Johnny Hayes that scored, and then Mayovsky with the penalty. Aberdeen scored with both their shots on target, one of which was a penalty. I was kind of expecting more from Aberdeen attacking-wise this season, obviously. Mayovsky and Duke had great form last season, plenty of goals, plenty of assists, but all seems a little bit flat just now. Perhaps their focus lies with Europe. They will have a busy fixture schedule ahead, so like Hearts, a bit of a concern there. For St Mirren, Greg Kilty and Olu Sanya were joint in this fixture for shots on target with two. Kilty, another four million midfielder to consider. Add him to the bracket there. Obviously a favourite from previous seasons as well. Could be a decent option. And obviously, one of Donny's favourites, he's a penalty taker, so plenty of points there. Mandron, I think he was a lot of people's third choice striker, and he didn't start this fixture, but he did come on and get an assist. So if you're using him as part of your bench, strictly, that's ideal, but perhaps maybe not assured of starts there. Peter, I'll come to you first.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Aberdeen falling in the same bracket as Hearts for me. I haven't got Aberdeen player in my squad at all. I do like Aberdeen. I just think they're guaranteed European football right through to Christmas now, so they're going to have to negotiate the Sunday-Thursday football. And as you can probably see so far, when the starts teams are playing in Europe, these teams aren't used to it. They find it really hard to have the strength of team out for both legs. Sun's got to give, and points seem to be dropped. So they've started the season really well. Really, they've really impressed me in the game I've seen. They've just... Steve, it's Robinson. Is his name Robinson?
Yeah.
Manager. He's a good, he's a decent coach. He's got them playing well. They're very tactically astute when it comes to certain games. It's just picking out what players and what games you want to have. I mean, everybody likes Ryan Strain, but they've not been keeping much clean sheets, so he's not been going forward the other way. Mandarin, yep, a lot of people had him for choice, but there is players, alternative, other teams that are maybe offering more. The one that will stand out is O'Hara, but he's injured right now, but I think when he's back, Talismanic, I think we'll all be back on him again quite quickly because they're playing well without him. And when he comes back at the team, I expect him to get up to another level. But apart from that, there's not him really I'm kind of looking to, St Mirren wise, and Aberdeen, whereas Mioski's returning well so far, it's just that whole European football every Sunday and Thursday, and what are they going to kind of prioritise? It's kind of putting me off bringing him in.
Yep. Donny, would you agree?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Aberdeen haven't won a league game this season, so that tells you everything you need to know about their troubles. And the fact that they do play on Sundays, you're never going to get team news either. So, you know, you are going to take punts that, you know, Bielski should start every week, but he might get rotated every now and again. So you're going to have to watch there. I thought St Mirren were good value for money in the first half. Strain got booked for diving. I think if anyone still owns him, should probably want to get rid of him. He costs far too much money and is certainly not returning. Hayes for the opener. Did you see that goal at all?
No.
It was a free kick out wide. He just floated it in. Nobody went for it. Keeper just watched it and it just bounced into the corner. And it. So a bit of a blunder there from Hammond. Guilty, a name from a couple of seasons ago on penalties at the moment. That might be value. But as we say, O'Hara hopefully should be back soon. And then Mioski with a penalty also in this game. But I think both teams is really difficult to pin down right now. I'm the same as you, Peter. I don't have any Aberdeen assets. If I was to have one, it would probably be Mioski. I don't think the fans are too happy with Duke right now. He's, as you say, his form's really falling off, and St Mirren without O'Hara, it's hard to see who the permanent fixture there is. But a good end-to-end game. St Mirren will be a bit unhappy that it ended 2-2, but they've certainly had a good start to the season.
So then we'll just round off with our top 10 of the week then. Captain Tavid is in at number one with 15 points. Comes in at second with 12 points. Luke McCowan at Dundee, 11 points. Mitov, the St Johnston goalkeeper, 10 points. Barisic with 9. Johnny Hayes with 9. Daniel Phillips at St Johnston with 8. A couple of Dundee players in Trevor Carson and Cammy Kerr both got 8. And Suter at Rangers got 7. If we break that down into positions, goalkeepers like buses, never in the top 10, then we get 2 at once. Defenders, 5. Midfielders, 3. And surprisingly, no forwards. I suppose it's kind of obvious given that St Johnston's result against Celtic and Dundee's result against Hearts, quite a few of those players populate in the top 10. But anything else to add to that?
I think if you had Tavernier and Barisic, you want to watch this game week because there was nothing else happening. I think we're maybe seeing a shift in the template to 2 seasons ago where strikers just couldn't buy a goal. Last year we were spoiled a bit up front. But it's only game week 3. If either Rangers or Celtic have a bad result, then it spreads throughout the game. So maybe shouldn't read too much into it. But nothing on that list that was really on my team apart from Tavernier.
Yep, I tend to agree. The striker situation so far isn't usually exposed on the scene. Rangers got too much players up there rotating, so you don't know who it is. Kyogo's playing deeper, so playing poor up front. So as it stands now, yep, if you were on the defensive double up Rangers, I think you want to watch this week, especially if you captain, vice captain them. And it's early days yet, so we'll have to just wait and see how the next couple of weeks goes on. We're going to have a better picture of how the template might look. Okay. Right, Donnie, your dive this week is talking us through a potential wild card that you've been dying to do, and me and Tom have been trying to talk you out of it, but the floor is yours.
So wild card or not, is the title of this week's deep dive. So we're 3 weeks in now, and I've started to question whether I should wild card or not. So I'm going to talk about pros and cons of doing so early in the season. Now, we've all had mixed fortunes at the moment. Peter's flying high, so I doubt he's going to wild card. Tom loves to hold on to his chips, so I doubt he's going to push the button. Whereas I did a relatively early wild card last season, which I should say didn't work out, but I still finished sixth overall, so it didn't go that bad. Worth noting, one of our high-profile players, FPL General, he played his wild card at the weekend. And he got a rank rise of 1,574 places. I had a quick nosy at his team and it is pretty good. So let's have a look at the pros. So obviously the main pro of a wild card, you just start on a clean sheet. You get your team that you want. You know, if you made bad choices, you can just get rid of them. No point loss and have a clean sheet. So that's where I'm at the moment. I want to start again. Next thing, you can obviously catch players before their price rises. So we talk about somebody like Martin Boyle. If I jump on him this game week, he scores, and then everyone else gets him game week after, you know, I'll be able to get the price rise early. You've got somebody like Tavernier, who fell in value. If there's teams out there that thought they could run without him and then realise they couldn't, they'll actually get him cheaper than he was at the start of the game. So you can catch price rises there. Next thing you can do is you can target teams that started better than expected, or you can come off teams that are underperforming. So we've got like Achille on one hand, who've had a good few results and a far better team than last season. And then you have Hibs, Aberdeen, Hearts, the teams that we expect to finish high in the league, currently struggling at the moment. You can move out injured players or your cheap third-choice striker straight away rather than have to wait, you know, take 2 hits 1 week, take 2 hits the next. You can just do it all in one go. You can break the template. So as I just touched on there, I think premium forwards aren't particularly offering value. Certainly Rangers fall into that category with the amount of strikers that they have. I think you might hit 1 week and then be 2-3 weeks before you hit again if you just don't choose the right one. Duke Shankland, great last season, maybe not so much this season. Time, again, I said before we started recording, I think to get my team to where I want it, it would probably take 3 or 4 weeks. And during that time, you could lose out. So if you're wild card, you're able to do it instantly. And I guess my last pro would be that you get 2 wild cards. So if you use one now, you've still got another one for later on in the season. So that's all the things in the pro category. We'll look at the cons and then I'll get you their opinions. So the first major con would be it's only 3 game weeks in. Rangers have had one bad result. Celtic have had one bad result. So, you know, we shouldn't read too much into it. To quote Peter at the weekend, he said, 1 week's wild card can be the next week's duds. The Scottish game is so up and down. And he's right. You know, we could get a scorer that, you know, scores a brace and then never scores again for 5-6 weeks. So you might make a knee-jerk decision there. There's an international break coming up. So if you've got anyone injured or on reduced game time, you could see that changing by the time game week 5 comes around. Limited data. So good teams, bad runs. You know, Ross County have played Rangers and Celtic, so they've got a lot of good teams to come, whereas Hearts and Hibs have still got Rangers and Celtic to play. So we'll talk about Hearts being out of form. They've still got those fixtures to come up. One bad game doesn't make a bad team, although Celtic have had 2 bad games now, so maybe that's not true. There's plenty of time to make up the difference. And finally, you only get 2 wild cards. So whilst it is good that you only get 2, you know, if you do use one up, then it leaves you the rest of the season to navigate with 1. So that'll include the winter schedule, which is traditionally tough. We often get double game weeks. You've got the January transfer window when a lot of teams bring in new players. You might want to freshen up. And then the split, where we've traditionally used our wild card, is another point. So if you do it now, you run the rest of the season with only 1 and quite a few opportunities that you might want to use it. So come Saturday, I was firmly in the wildcard camp. Peter and Tom talked me out of it. But since I was writing this, looking at my team, I'm very much back in the wildcard camp again. So guys, I'll leave it with you. Peter, I guess you're not going to wildcard, but thoughts on wildcard in general at this stage in the game?
I think it's too early. I've got a caveat, obviously. I'm happy with my position in my team, so I'm all right. The way I looked at it, as I sent you the text, is this week is Rangers Celtic. So most players in this game are going to have, I would say, at least 4. Mm-hmm. So even though Rangers are favourites, the game can go anyway. We all know that, I've seen play them. So I don't think no matter what happens, you're going to fall that far behind or fall that or go that far in front. For example, you could bring in Tavernier and Barisic. And your wild card, you could captain Tav and a vice captain. I don't know who your vice captain. And Celtic could go nuts, it could catch him with the because you're playing it for the back, and it could backfire. Yeah. Injury issues is international breaks coming up. Many players you got red flag in your team?
2 at least.
Suarez and Ndaba, is that right?
Yeah, that'd be it.
Right,
yeah.
Same 2 as us. So. And Abba's just obviously, there's a question on that later, but he's kind of long-term injury, so we're all going to take him out at some point. That's going to have to happen. Suarez, I think, is closer, rather later coming back at the team, so 2 weeks off could be close back to the team it could be in. You've got more time. So, for example, if you waited to your wild card after this game week, like this is my point, Mr. You wait 1 more week at least, then you've got the full international break, you've got the pressure, your players coming back to fitness. You could wild card 3 players at that team. 3 players could get injured at national break, and then you've got your kind of snook of the game. Or my mentality would be, take the hit 1 more week. It's 1 more week. You don't want to happen in this Rangers game. There's no really other games. I looked at the fixtures. You go, I've got to go on these players for this game week. And then once the national break, you can take it, you can hit it, you can tinker about, and you can look up until the game week comes back. And am I right in saying the fixtures that come back are quite friendly for certain teams at all?
Rangers have got St Johnstone, Celtic have got Dundee. So, yeah,
so you would think on a normal given day, both teams are back and hitting decent form, and that's 2 fixtures you could easily target in it. And if any sort of thing you've hit or drop in form, you fell hit this week, you come back. That's pretty much it. I just think so. To me, it's just a week too early. I think your wild card is quite enough. Go for it, fair enough. But I think you're chasing points this week in 1 more week. And then you can go for it. Because how much, unless Rangers go out and absolutely pummel Celtic and you bet the right players, or vice versa, and you hit the right players, how much are you going to be behind? How much further are you going to be in front of 1 more game week?
Yeah, Yeah, no, I get it. Tom, you've been shrewd with your chips last season. You kept a hold of them till Christmas time. So are you looking to do the same again?
I'll try and kick it on for as long as I can. I could be tempted to wild card earlier this season. I think I agree with Peter. I think this is probably at least a week too soon. But I wouldn't be against maybe doing it within the next sort of two or three game weeks. Another factor which hasn't been mentioned is the transfer window is still open. There might be a few gems which come in and you end up trying to make a lot of transfers, trying to get these guys in. Some players might come in, hit the ground running. Another factor could be there's a lot of pressure on Brendan Rodgers just now. I think maybe this is wishful thinking right from me, but say, for example, they're signing a player like Daniel Podence and he comes into the game, you know, like, six, five, what could he be, like 5.9 million or something like that. It's then going to take quite a lot of work to get him in if he comes into the select team. I doubt he'd start this weekend, but then say he comes in and he's an instant hit. It's going to be tough trying to get a player like that in. So I think there's even just waiting that 1 week will give you some time to sort of reassess and perhaps a lot more information in terms of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all good. All good comments. The way I see it is, you know, I get itchy feet when I talk about these things. I look at my team, I think, he's rubbish. We'll get rid of him. And then I just end up talking myself into it. I wouldn't be too bothered about the Rangers Celtic fixture because I'd be getting rid of two Celtic players I'd keep for the Hashi. You know, I just think I've picked the wrong players to start with. Like Sir Robinson that you mentioned at Dundee leads the table for missed chances. All he's done for me this season is miss a penalty, you know, and I'm missing out potentially on some of the other, you know, Watkins or other players of that nature. So you just see it every game week passes. I'm not doing that well, and that nags at the back of you. It could all backfire. A wild card did last season to try and do well in the cup, and I think I probably did worse than I just left my team. So I must caveat everything I've said is, you know, it doesn't always work out. It feels good at the time, but you know, it's unpredictable. A few more days left. The transfer window will be shut by the time the next game week starts, so you will at least know who's available from each team. I guess I'll leave it till Friday, see how I'm feeling. If I've had a good week and I get confidence with Rangers, then I might be, yep, everything's good in the world. Rangers get beat and, you know, I'm a bit unhappy with life. I'll just say, nah, let's go for it. So both options are open, but I know there's people in there that are in the same boat have similar ideas. So you can make of that what you will. And if you do, good luck.
Do you have a kind of rough, you don't need to tell us the players, obviously, but you have a rough draft?
I mean, yeah, I have wrote down, where was it? So I'd have somebody like Hemming in goals, Tavernier, Kelly defender, Ross County defender, Livy defender. So I'm not really nailed down which ones. Mm-hmm. I have put Borna in there. I've got Cantwell in there, Spittle, Armstrong, Boyle, Kyogo, Watkins, and then another cheap forward. So a lot of those names were our names that we particularly talked about this game week. You know, come next game week, it might not be the same. But I think upfront isn't offering the same value, so you want the likes of a Boyle and Armstrong in there on penalties, you know, gets good returns. That would strengthen your case. And at the back, you know, just cheap out to be able to spend that money. But as I say, it's a template kind of team just based on the limited information that we've got. I don't even know if I can afford all of that, but I've got to imagine it would be close because I wouldn't have a Ranger forward. I wouldn't have Shanklin to Miovsky, so there probably is a big saving there that I could spread it across the team.
Okay, we'll wait for the bated breath the weekend, see if you pulled the trigger or not. Obviously, a different situation. I mean, I've got three players flagged, but I've got three players on the bench. I'll make one transfer this week. As I said, I'll run with one more week and see how the team looks next week. And I've been quite happy with the start of the season, so I don't feel I'm that far away. But guys like Boyle, you mentioned, Donny Boyle, because gets Mitchy feet going. I don't want to leave it 2 or 3 weeks. If he has two good 3 weeks, that's 0.3 million you've got to find because it will go up. Yeah. Right, so we'll go to our questions. We've got three questions, haven't we?
Yeah.
All right, to find it. Okay. Right, first question is from FPL Liger. So looking forward to the pod. Time to let Cantwell go, question mark. Another seamless subpar performance in fantasy terms. Would you be looking to pivot elsewhere? So Donny, you're the Cantwell fan. You said you're still on your team. So Cantwell, you're staying with him?
Yeah, a lot of hate for Cantwell this week in the questions. I think you've got to look at the fixtures Rangers have had. They've had Kilmarnock away and Ross County away, probably two of the worst teams that set up defensively. Cantwell's not that type of player. I think the game this weekend is right up Cantwell's street. I think he's got Celtic on toast, and I think he could be quite dangerous.
What that?
So I think he is a big game player. So if he doesn't do anything this weekend, then yeah, I'll eat my words and yous can all get rid of him. But I think he's better than what he's showing. I don't think the fixtures have been too kind. You've got to look at the alternatives. You know, Celtic, there's nobody catching fire there. Armstrong, O'Hara, not getting much there. Boyle would probably be the most obvious go-to as far as that's concerned. But I think if you hold Cantwell all season, I think you'll get a lot of returns. Again, going back to making knee-jerk decisions, I think this would be one. Give him one more game, see how it pans out. And then if you're wanting to make wholesale changes, then use him in terms of your cash value to move elsewhere. But I just think he's too good not to return week in, week out.
Tom, thoughts on Cantwell?
I get that he's probably been a disappointment so far in terms of his returns. But as Donny said, you've got to look at the alternatives. Boyle is probably the most obvious, but then again, he's only scored one goal. They're away to Aberdeen this week, away to Kilmarnock the week after. Kilmarnock's been pretty good defensively. They do have a couple of nice plum fixtures against St Johnstone at home and Dundee at home, but then the face Hearts, Celtic, then Rangers all in a row. So, I don't know. In terms of midfield, there's no one that's really nobody that's really doing it for me. Well, apart from a new favourite, Luke McCowan at Dundee. So, I don't know. I just feel like you're kind of trading one off for another, really. If there is a player that you've got your eye on, if there's a wee gem there that you think is just about to start hitting, then I suppose you could switch to that, but I don't know. I don't see too much harm in holding on to him and see what happens.
The only thing I would say is he's definitely playing less advanced with the new strikers on the team. So maybe people are seeing that and seeing nothing is involved. I could potentially see him playing in the 10 role this Sunday, mind you, against Celtic, playing further up. But the question coming in my head is, well, who do you bring in instead? And if you're going to have three Rangers players, who's the alternatives? So, say, example, you have Tavon Barisic. Well, who's the third one going to be? And I always go back to Cantwell. As Donny said, he's probably the most talented of them all. He's probably got the most guile for his forward pass. So there's nobody else stands out. He's not that pricey. 5.4 is obviously premium in this game, but is it Boyle? You go to Boyle? Do you go to O'Hara? Are you going to get the same returns? I think, as Donny said, I think if you stick with Cantwell for the end of the season, unless his form totally drops and we'll be wrong if they'll transfer off, I think he'll get decent returns. Until somebody else, maybe in his team or somebody else, an alternative teams, stand out and it's like you can't not pick them, I think I'm happy to go with Cantwell. I think he'll return quite often. So Josh McCaffrey's pretty much asked the same question. So Josh Mac _05. What do you think of Cantwell? Not passing eye test for me and has just one assist to his name and an XGI of 0.33, taking up 5 million as well. So we've kind of covered that. XGI still, it's a low sample size. I mean, if he could go nuts this week or nuts next week. To me, I keep him. I think we've all agreed we probably keep him. The lesser title comes up. Boyle's the one we've all both mentioned, that, of Teresa mentioned, sorry, is the one. If Boyle does go nuts and start showing better form, if they get a goal manager that uses him more through the middle, then it's an easy sideways step to Boyle and it frees your Avenger space somewhere else. So it's not the end of the world. I don't think 5.4 million is that expensive, to be honest. I think it's all right for a guy who's going to be pretty much nil most weeks, Tony, would you agree?
He's very yeah, absolutely. Paid.
He's not going to be
the thing is, we've probably all got a bad at, and he's in and out of that Celtic team already. So
I can show him last week.
He's one that you'd probably want to get rid of ahead of Cantwell. So no, I think he's too good.
I sold a bad last week, but I got rid of him for O'Reilly. I just think his form's been terrible.
Yeah.
I think they're going to bring another winger. And I think Abada's going to be quickly find himself on the bench. And he's linked him with Sporting Lisbon. Don't know if you've seen that news today. Mm-hmm. Portuguese press linked him with Sporting Lisbon. Second question from Josh was, anyone knows anything about Ndaba? I brought him in last game week. Think he'd recover from the Celtic game in the cup. Well, I think the lad himself tweeted yesterday, and Tom has retweeted that he's got a long-term injury, so we're going to find a replacement. He's out for... He didn't even mention a time frame on it, so...
He says he's out for a while. That was implied.
So I think he's out for...
prolonged period.
Months rather than weeks, so get him out of your team. Right, and Donny, you had a question on your side, didn't you? Let's see what it says.
Yeah.
Andrew X Andrew L8R. What's the biggest deduction hit you should take now to revamp your poor performing squad? Is it tail to wildcard? So Donny, over to you. This is your
yeah. Welcome to my camp. So obviously talked about wildcards, and as it's proved, there's a lot of you in the same boat. I think -8 is drastic, but if you had 2 free transfers and made another 2, that would give you 4 changes. That should plug all your holes. If you took -8 just to make 3, I think that's quite hard. It's quite difficult to make up those points, because if you just leave, you know, if they're getting game time, they've got probably 6 points on the board. If they don't do anything, you're probably better just leaving it. You know, if you take a -8, it's what, almost 2 goals that you need just to get you back on level terms. So that's why I would just rather change everything all at once, because, well, I've, last 2 weeks I've took -4, -4, and I'm still not really in a much better position. So I think if you had 2 free, then I would take a -8. If you just had 1 free, I don't think I would take a -8. That's quite a lot. I think I would just push it. But as the guys say, maybe just wait. Take a -4 maybe this week, and then you can decide off the back of that. So if your team is absolutely dire and you've just made an arse of it, then go for it. But as the guys say, if you can wait one more week, you might come out the other end a bit better off and you know, clear thought of mind rather than knee-jerking like I'm doing. But -8 is probably the limit I would go to.
Just on that, for a couple of you, Tom, I think a lot of these players who are asking these questions are maybe casuals who have played the game and they've picked in the cheapest players in each position. So they've no bench. So this is why you guys want a wild card, because they've picked like the cheapest 2.2. I've seen a lot of people high up in the league where they've just got no bench at all. So
yeah,
they're no wild card and looking for the cheapest assets that are maybe playing to revamp their team. So that's probably fine. I agree with you, Donny. If it's a -8, but you've got 2 for these, you've got 4 transfers, that's probably the max I would do. Other than that, just pull the trigger and go for a wild card. Thoughts, Tom?
I mean, I took a -4 this week and didn't work out at all. So I'm perhaps recently scorned. So I would say if you've got 2 free transfers, I think a -4 would be maxed to me. I'd do 3 transfers for a -4, mini wild card. I think -8, you're really pushing it. There's not a lot of teams out there that are often, or players even, that are often consistency. So you do have to get a couple of clean sheets in order to break even. And that's only if the players that you're transferring out don't return. So I did take a -4 this week, but in the Scottish game, I'm a lot more adverse to hits than I am in FPL. Yeah. Because I think it's a lot more difficult to make back up the difference. So I'd say a -4 max for me.
Cool. Okay, that's the question finished. Right, so the fixtures this week are as follows. We're going to have three games, so 6 teams you'll see the team news of. And that's Johnson Dundee, Livingston St Mirren, Kilmarnock Ross County, and then to Sunday, Rangers vs Celtic, Hearts and Motherwell, Aberdeen Hibernian. So upon hearing those fixtures, Tom, and I know the confidence is coming back into your veins, I can feel it from here. Who's your captain, vice-captain and transfer thoughts this week?
Transfer-wise, I'm probably going to get rid of Abada. I'll probably go for Luke McCowan, to be honest with you. Try and free up some funds so I can upgrade a defender the following week to Barisic, because I think Barisic is your second Rangers slot right away. In terms of captain and vice-captain, you could probably just stick with Captain Tav. Probably a wee penalty avoided there, so...
you should
be all right with that. And then vice captain, these are usually the weeks to maybe take a little bit of a punt. So with that being said, I don't know. Who would I go for? Luke McCowan, vice captain. Here we are.
You're all in and look like that one, don't you? Who's your thoughts, transfers? Well, if you don't wildcard, obviously, who's your thoughts, transfers, vice captain, and captain?
No, that's okay. It's been, I can't remember the last time Rangers got a penalty against Celtic. It's at Ibrox, so there's no chance Celtic will get one. Captain Tav, I think, is a decent shout. He did score a good free kick at Parkhead last season and got a lot of points over that. None of the other fixtures are particularly great to target. I potentially thought of Watkins for Kilmarnock. That's potentially one of my transfers in. If I was getting rid of a badder, I'd probably take in Boyle and maybe Robinson, pull the button on him and get in Watkins. So that would maybe be the moves that I make. Vice captain, yeah, I think Watkins, he's in a rich vein of form, so maybe back him there and stick with Cav for the tap and see, hopefully get a good result this weekend and see us top of the table on Sunday.
We'll see. My transfer plan is Ndaba back out. So either B, want to see the team news, either Penrice, Livingston, or cheap Kilmarnock defender against Ross County at home. They've both got decent fixtures going forward. I'll wait and see. Hopefully they're both playing. I'll just be on the day who I pick. And I'm sticking with Captain Tav and Vice-Captain Kyogo because I think Celtic will still score. And if anybody's got to score, it'll still be Furuhashi. So
yeah,
he's as likely this week as any because, as you say, the fixtures aren't exactly the kindest for other teams. So I think I'll just stick to tried and tested and see what happens with that.
Good luck.
Okay, that is us. That was Brendan Rodgers here. Okay, right. That's us finished. Donnie, get your plugs in.
Okay, I am at FFS underscore Donnie.
Tom?
At FFS underscore Scout.
I'm at Fantasy House. We'll be back next week covering these games and the next round of draw, and then we'll have a week off because of the national break. So say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.